This Get Made. What's up, dum-dums? Welcome to a mini-episode of How Did This Get Made? I am your host, Paul Shear, joining you to tell you everything that you might have missed from the murderous, hunted ghost film of Nicholas Sparks' Safe Haven, and everything that you need to know for next week's episode, which we don't know what it is yet, but you will in just a little bit. Hold on tight. I want to let you guys know that if you're in LA and you want to see us do the show live, we're doing a show April 4th at Largo in Los Angeles. That's our LA home, 8 and 10 p.m. 8 o'clock is almost sold out. 10 p.m. just went on sale yesterday. You can go to largo-la.com for tickets. That's largo-la.com for tickets. Come out, see us. The live shows are always super fun, and we have amazing guests for them. And that episode, you don't want to miss. I'm not going to tell you straight away what the movie that we're doing next week is. I'm just going to read you some lyrical poetry and see if you can guess it. Man-made terror, hungry jaws of death. Y'all don't cross my depths. I'll pause your breaths, 'cause I like to sink down 40,000 leagues, bleeding to death with no arms and short sleeves. My world's deep blue killer's gotta eat too, looking for human flesh to rip my teeth through. Other fish in the sea, but barracudas ain't equal to a half-human predator created by a needle. Jet black eyes, baby, they stare at you while you sleep. When your Titanic sinks, I'm the one you're gonna meet. Hearing terrified screams, they surround my team. All you see is trails of blood, even when God won't intervene. Nightmares of darkness, my appetite is heartless. Even if we're related, you eliminated regardless. In the deep blue underwater walls, half man, half shark, my jaws don't fall. Motherfucker, we're doing Deep Blue Sea. Deep Blue Sea, if you haven't seen it, then you're a fucking loser. Come on, guys. This movie is amazing. But don't take my word for it. Listen to the trailer.
Tell me, Mr. Franklin, have you ever known anyone with Alzheimer's?
No.
What if you could end all that suffering with a single pill? Give me till Monday morning, 48 hours. I'll give you results that'll skyrocket your stock price.
In the most advanced research facility in the world.
Wow.
Beneath its glassy surface, a world of gliding monsters.
A team of specialists is working against the clock.
Did someone order the fish?
On an experiment to benefit mankind.
Sharks never show any loss of brain activity as they age.
We're this close to the reactivation of a human brain cell.
But before they can save millions of lives...
Tell me I didn't see that. They recognize that gun.
That's impossible. Sharks do not swim backwards. They can't.
They'll have to find a way to save their own.
Just what the hell did you do to those sharks?
Did you feel something?
Jim and I use gene therapies to increase their brain mass.
What is that?
As a side effect, the sharks got smarter.
Somebody, please, tell me what that is.
Holy shit. This movie is like Jaws drank a Four Loko and then kind of just got caught up in a slight Sharknado. I don't know if it's a Sharknado. It's definitely Jaws on Four Loko, though, and meets Under Siege, the Steven Seagal movie. The movie is amazing, obviously. I think you're going to really love it. We got the best cast in the world. Thomas Jane, Samuel Jackson, Michael Rapaport, Stellan Skarsgård, LL Cool J. Come on. If America's number one export is movies, then this is the crown jewel in that. I don't know what I just said, but I enjoyed saying it. Deep Blue Sea, it's America's movie. So watch it, you can stream it, you can get it. You know how to get your movies. I don't need to tell you all the time. It's not hard to get, basically. If you've listened to the show in the past, you know how to get movies, so I'm not going to explain it. Enough of all of this. All right, moving on. Last week, we talked about Safe Haven. Now, there might have been some things that we left out, some things that we misunderstood, or some things we were just plain wrong about. Now, this is your chance to do what the internet was made for, to tell us you were wrong, us, and you were right, you. So it's time for Corrections and Omissions. Hit the theme!
There's something rather spiffing about corrections and omissions, but some people take it a bit too far, like the simple girl on Amazon that gave this film 5 stars.
All right, corrections and omissions. These are corrections and omissions culled from our Earwolf message boards for the show. I'm going to read the best ones here. I'm going to just first point out that a lot of people mentioned that Netflix has been pulling movies as soon as we announce them. Is there a conspiracy? Yes, I'm positive. I'm sure that Netflix pulling these movies has nothing to do with complicated rights issues and windows for studios and films. I'm sure it's not that. I'm sure it's based purely on people at Netflix listening to the mini episodes. Yeah, because they're fucking popular. And pulling the movies because they want to screw with you guys because I guess they like other competing bad movie podcasts. If there are any bad... I'm sure there are plenty of bad movie podcasts out there. Here's the deal, people. So there's no conspiracy, but Netflix, we got our eyes on you, and you don't want to battle because you saw what happened to How I Met Your Mother. We took that motherfucker down. So you don't want to get messing with us because when we come to battle, we battle hard. To the death. Also, people are worried about June. Look, the issue with June, I forget exactly what it was that night, but there was an issue where June couldn't leave the house. I had to leave the house. We have a baby, so we can't leave that baby by himself. There was something bizarre happening that night. I don't remember off the top of my head exactly what it was, but she wasn't there. Oh, you know what? No, I remember what it was. She was away for her sister's birthday. I made a whole lie up there. That was for the other episode. Anyway, June's fine. She's not being held captive. She's alive and well. You heard her on Zardoz Part 2. But she did not watch Safe Haven because she knew she was going to be away. Although, she is missing out. Let's get into it right here, right now. Let's talk about what you guys want to talk about. Okay, Hemlock Smoothie brought up a very interesting thing. Apparently, there is an article where Nicholas Sparks talks about his talent. He basically says, and I'm just paraphrasing Hemlock Smoothie here, he says that he is Sophocles or Hemingway and accuses Cormac McCarthy and other writers of doing melodrama. Here's the actual quote from the article. There's a difference between drama and melodrama, evoking genuine emotion or manipulating emotion. It's a very fine eye of the needle to thread, and it's very rare that it works. That's why I tend to dominate this particular genre, and there is this fine line, and I do not merge into melodrama. It's all drama, and I try to generate authentic emotional power. Whoa, fucking Nicholas Sparks. Nicholas Sparks slamming Cormac McCarthy. Nicholas Sparks, dude, you create melodrama. That's not just drama. Or is it? Literature people, write me. Tell me, is that melodrama or drama? I think it's melodrama. But if you want to read the entire article, Hemlock Smoothie actually has a link to it. But I guess you can like maybe just Google Nicholas Sparks, Sophocles, Cormac McCarthy, melodrama, and you'll find it. But he says, or she says, that the article is just full of narcissistic insanity, and it will make you... get the sensation of blood shooting out of your eyes as you read it. Juliet posts, I want to bring up this idea that after Katie shoots Kevin in the fire, there's a scene that appears to be at dawn and shows the paramedics loading Kevin's body bag into the ambulance, while in the background, Josh, Katie, and the fam survey the damage of the store and go through the rubble. Assuming the fireworks were at 9 p.m., Kevin's body has been lying on the ground at a minimum of 8 hours. This seems like very poor EMS work. Yes, Juliet, you are right. That is terrible EMS work. She also points out that once Katie clarifies that her husband is dangerous and chasing her, Katie moves in with Alex's family. A few things here. First, how many dates have they been on? Like 3? And at the most, like she's only been in town for a few weeks. And wait a second. Why is his ghost wife okay with this? This is way too fast. Especially since Julianne Hough looks like she's 19 years old in this movie. And this woman is being hunted by her crazy alcoholic cop husband. So how is it a good idea to have her live with your children? Also, why wouldn't you clue your cop buddy into the situation? Juliet, all fine points. But what you're bringing up, of course, is melodrama issues, not actual drama issues. Lady Liberty writes... this is actually very interesting. What if, you know, obviously the dead wife is there helping out, but I got to thinking, what if there's something much more tragic at play? What if what's really going on is that Katie slash Aaron also has cancer, and the tumor is in her brain causing these hallucinations of Joe? It's entirely possible that when Katie slash Aaron first rolled through town, she caught a glimpse of an old photo with Joe in it, I don't know, somewhere in the background of Alex's convenience store, and her crazy brain tumor is drawing this image from her subconscious and projecting it as a hallucination. Just saying. Lady Liberty, that's a fucking great point. And sad. Also, melodrama. Okay. Josh G. brings up, the reason Safe Haven doesn't work is because the reveal is less outrageous than the misdirect. If we've been led to believe the opposite, that in the first hour she was an abused wife who then turns out to be a legit murderer, now stuck in a Nicholas Sparks romance, that would have been a reveal. Then the guy goes on to list four reasons why Sleeping with the Enemy is a better movie. But who cares about that? Actually, I think you're right. They kind of did screw up the misdirect. Like, we don't ever think that she's a murderer. I don't think so, right? You don't think that she's a murderer. You at least don't think that she's, like, a crazy murderer. You know, there you go. Cameron H. does his best to write his version of a letter from the dead wife to Julianne Hough. Here it goes. Dear her, hi. You don't know me, but I'm the dead wife of the man that you're currently banging. I'd like to say that my purpose for writing this is out of some altruistic feeling for my husband, but nothing could be further from the truth. I just felt the need to introduce myself, as I am the specter and shadow that you will be living under for the rest of your life. You see, although I may be gone, the love my husband felt for me will never fade, and no matter what you say, feel, or do, I will forever be the benchmark he secretly holds you against. Now, you may think you're something special, but let me ask you this. He's already been taking you backward canoeing. Did it end up raining, even though he insisted the weather report didn't call for it? Have you discussed the eating habits of gorillas? Have you eaten dinners at that tackle shop where if you are there, you pass the closing, they'll just lock you in, check unpaid? Once you realize the staff had left you for the evening, you just go tango in the store? These are all classic Alex moves, and you're not unique. You're merely the death rattle of my husband's fading libido. So congratulations, you just earned a silver medal in the race for my husband's affections, and I really want you to remember one thing. When you wake up warm and cozy next to him tomorrow, then the day after that, for however long the charade of your love lasts, if I hadn't died from this bullshit cancer, you would not be there. You're only there because I can't be. In closing, I just want you to know that I've been studying the dark arts from this moment I was diagnosed with this disease, and if my black magics are successful, you will most definitely be meeting me in the future. Yours spitefully, Joe. Way to go, Cameron H. That's a more appropriate letter that Joe should have sent. Okay, and finally, Volatile Hearts writes, if we're to assume that the ghost wife's goal was to find her husband someone new to love slash bang, how many other women did she haunt before she met Katie? Good point. Is this woman out there haunting all these people? Bang my husband, bang my husband. Dr. Muffin, I'm just going to shout you out and say that you listed a really funny review that Peter Travers did for Rolling Stone, but because it's not you, I'm not going to read that shit. And I'm going to say right now, oh, wait, one more. This is from Kokoala. Says, so Katie's real name is Aaron, but when her crazy drunko husband arrives and confronts her, he calls her by the name that she's been going by in the town. How does he know that? And why doesn't he call her by his wife's name? This is weird. I kind of paraphrased her, but that is a good point. But you know what? It's not strong enough to be the winner of corrections and omissions for the week. The winner, of course, is our favorite, and I'm sorry, Cameron H., a valiant try, Juliet. Juliet, you did it. You really looked into it. You pointed out something that everyone missed. Why are those ZMS workers taking such a damn long time? That is corrections and omissions. If you have a theme, correction, or anything that you want to send to the show that we can put in the mini episode or put in the main episode, do it. We love it. Hats off to Nate Kiley, who compiles all the research. He finds the best ones. He gives them to me. I read them, and I cut them down a little bit, too. So if you want your Correction No Omission to go in the next episode, go to earwolf.com, leave a message, comment, whatever, and we will read it if it's good. If it's bad, we're just going to fucking move on. Move on. Okay, guys, coming up next, check it out. Would this film be better with Cage? Also, Shear's picks, and finally, some Q&As.
Dropping panties all around the world. Nicolas Cage loved and engaged. Cage made my life better, but will he make this movie better? Yeah.
Okay, would this movie be better with Nicolas Cage? Let me think on it. Nicolas Cage would have to be the Alex part. And right off the bat, no way. Nicolas Cage is not... That's not a good part for Nicolas Cage. If Nicolas Cage did this part as a woman... Oh, well, wait. Nicolas Cage is the maniac husband. It's too small of a part, but he could have really... I mean, the parade scene would have been more amped up. Yes, Nicolas Cage as the cop who is obsessed with his ex-wife... Or not even ex-wife, current wife... Yes, 100%. This movie would have been amped up. That guy was good, but not as good as Nicolas Cage being an alcoholic, bringing over that leaving Las Vegas kind of port of call, port of call, Bad Lieutenant, port of call. Yeah, like that energy, 100% this movie is better. There we go. Shear's pick for the week. Okay, brace yourself because it might be nerdy. My pick for the week is... Star Wars Rebels. Okay, now hear me out. Don't tune me out. Star Wars Rebels is a Disney XD animated show that is fucking awesome. It takes place after all the shitty movies, the first three, and before the ones that we all love, 4, 5, and 6. And it kind of connects the two worlds, and it's really fun. It's like exactly what you want Star Wars to be. It's an adventure, cool little crew. They go off, they do stuff. I am loving it. Star Wars Rebels, give it a chance. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised by how good it is. It's like, if you like Star Wars, you're going to like it. If you don't like Star Wars, I'm not going to tell you to tune into it. And also, I want to give a big shout out, not a shout out, but also tell you guys to pick up Ant-Man. Ant-Man, a new Marvel comic, so good. I've been really enjoying this too. Ant-Man obviously going to be a big... motion picture, but this is written by Nick Spencer, and it's really good and has nothing to do with the movie that we're going to be seeing. So check out Ant-Man, Marvel Comics. I know I just gave you like two super nerd balls things, but I think you'll like them both. Ant-Man is not like a superhero like you know superhero to be, and if you, well, I'm not apologizing for liking nerd shit. I fucking love it. Suck it. Suck a dick. And if you like to suck dick, suck a butthole. Because unless you like sucking buttholes, then suck something you don't like. What I'm saying is, try Disney Rebels and Ant-Man. Okay, now it is time, of course, for Q&As. Q&A theme, amazing as always. Let's get this one started with a very simple question. Jeremiah Cottrell, any more info on the New York City show? I need answers. Not yet. It's going to be in May. We've got to find the date. We've got to find the theater. So don't worry about it. The minute the New York shows get announced, you can find out about it on our Twitter page and on our Facebook page. So you can follow us at Twitter, HDTGM, and on Facebook at facebook.com/HDTGM. Okay. Sorry not to be 100% confident in that. Here we go. Ben Cooey writes, OJ, the purple stuff, or Sunny D? You know what? I was fooled by those Sunny D commercials. Like, oh yeah, Sunny D's probably delicious. It fucking sucks. It's disgusting. It's like orange juice for people who've never had orange juice. That purple stuff? No. No thank you. You give me OJ, because that's what I want. Sunny D. Sunny disgusting. Sunny despicable. Sunny, damn you for giving me this waste of a drink. No, Sunny D. So guess what? You will not be a sponsor on our show. Tropicana, come. Come at us. We love you. Matt Muscal writes, does the pulp from pulp-free orange juice get into orange juice? Okay, wow. A lot of orange juice questions. Have we talked about orange juice enough on the show to facilitate two orange juice questions back to back? Basically, all right, Matt wants to know, does the pulp from pulp-free orange juice get put into orange juice with extra pulp? Yeah, you wrote your own joke, and then you had me read it. I'm not going to expound on it. Emilio Hernandez writes, favorite kind of French fry, sweet potato, bro. I also like a big wedge fry. I don't like the skinny fries all the time. I like a wedge. I like a circular fry. You know, it all depends. It all depends, you know, on who makes the fries. In an Out Burger, great fries. But I like a nice big wedge. But also, sweet potato, always the way to go. And it's healthy for you. I mean, not really, but you can justify it like that. John, oh, I'm not going to read this one, John. You're disgusting. Jess Marie writes, how short are those shorts? They're a little too short. They're a little too short. My balls are going Silence of the Lambs, and I'm not even trying to do that intentionally. That's what I'm saying. My balls are being pushed into my ass crack because there's not enough ball room in my shorts. Okay. And then Adam O'Brien goes, have you guys seen the Furious 7 trailer? Duh. Fucking watched it a million times, and it only gets better and better and better and better. A car jumps out of a building into another building and then keeps on going through that building too. Where did the car come from? The plane? I hope. Okay. Sarah Ward writes, fuck, marry, kill the guys from Three Men and a Baby. Go. Okay, this is tough. Ted Danson. All right, I'm going to say that let's marry Ted Danson. Steve Guttenberg, let's fuck him. Tom Selleck, kill him. Why, Tom Selleck? Because you live by the gun, you die by the gun. NRA, totally fine, but we're, you know what? I don't want to bring that energy into my house. Ted Danson, he's like the long-term guy. Him and Mary Steve Bergen, super tight, always doing cool stuff, has lots of money from CSI, lots of money from Cheers. We're going to go on kick-ass vacations. Steve Guttz? The guy's got a huge schlong. I hear about it all the time. Look it up. He's got a big old dick. John Mullally writes, which animal would win in a triathlon? The dog from Air Bud or the monkey from MVP? The dog from Air Bud. That monkey from MVP. Forget it. A goalie monkey? I don't want that. Air Bud is a versatile dog. He played softball. He played volleyball. He's done it all, okay? Basketball, of course, is most famously. So he would win in a triathlon. Christos Tanastos wrote, is it gay to have sex with your female clone from an alternate dimension? I don't even understand this. Is it gay? Is it gay to have sex with your female clone? So can you clone yourself into different sexes? I was not aware of that science. Well, you'd be having sex with yourself. That would be weird. But if it's gay, I don't think it's gay. I don't think that you're committing, I don't think that you're having, I think you're still having heterosexual sex. You're not having, you have different body parts. It's weird, it's fucked up. I don't even know if this is scientifically possible. Christos Katantonosos. Okay, so a lot of weird orange juice and sexo questions today. John Tenney writes, is Jason still in The Dictator? We have found out for sure that he still is in The Dictator. And then, okay, Martin Sains writes, and this is a little bit nerdy question, if each host of this show were members of the Justice League, who would you all be? First of all, not a big DC guy, more of a Marvel dude, but I'll embrace the question. He writes, I have it as Paul as Martian Manhunter. Ooh, I'll take it. June as Wonder Woman, nice. And Jason is Aquaman, the Zack Snyder movie version. Dude, Jason as Jason Momoa, I want to make that movie. Zack Snyder, call us up. We'll be busting crimes, talking about bad movies. Okay. And then the final movie is Nicholas Onosukanix. I'm never going to pronounce anyone's names right. How do I do that better, people? I don't know. I try. I give it the college try. We know Safe Haven made Jason cry. Paul, what movies make you aroused? All right, well, I'll be honest with you guys. What movie made me arouse when I was a kid? There's a movie called Full Moon Junction with Sherilyn Fenn from Twin Peaks. When I was a kid, my mind was like, what? It was a crazy hot movie with some carny who fucked Sherilyn Fenn in the shower. I'd never seen anything like it. I would like secretly tape it on HBO at night and then watch it during the day. That was a hot movie. Am I right, fellers? Am I right? All right, guys, that is it for questions and answers. Let's get out of the orange juice realm next time. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's mini episode. Join us next week for Deep Blue Sea live from Largo. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.